Well, O come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Welcome back to Christmas, our Christmas 2023 series, Emmanuel, God with Us. And so in this three-week series, we're taking a simple approach, and we're just looking at each of the words which make up the meaning of Emmanuel, God with us. And so last week, if you missed, it was you missed the first word, which is God. Right? And it's not going to be on the screen, but the central statement for last week's message was, in Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus of Nazareth is the God. Amen. He is the God who's being referred to in Emmanuel. We can see his divinity in his names, Jesus, which means to save, Christ, the anointed one, and Emmanuel, God with us. And so that's last week. And today we're going to focus on the second word, with. Right? I mean, isn't there something very special about this idea of being with? Wouldn't you agree? I don't know if anyone else was touched by the video today, but the idea that to me what really meant the most to that young lady is that they're with her. You know, she was with them. You know, they were together, joined together, facing. I mean, think about the fond memories that we have, you know, and the times when we're making memories. Just you're with somebody, you know, you're with each other. And I was thinking this morning how, I think Coach Mitchell knows this, but I like to show video, and Alex knows, I like to show videos, basketball highlights and stuff like that. And those are great times, but I like seeing, like, in the years that I added, like a photo slide show at the end. It's just, man, it's just really, really cool to look at those pictures and think, man, we did that together. You know, one of the things that I missed the most about coaching was we would do a Christmas party for Greenwood students every year. And my guys were a part of it. And seeing pictures, and we, you know, these guys, these tough macho guys having to sing Christmas carols with handicapped kids on a hayride, you know, but they would do it anyway. Yeah, and seeing and those, but those times are special because we are with each other, we're together. And so today's central statement is simply, in Emmanuel, God with us, and that's our series title. Jesus is not merely near us, not merely above us, not below us at all. All right, he's with us. And so we have four points here today instead of three. Not alliterative, but, you know, I think you'll give me a pass today, right, Mr. Dorsch? And so I want to read the main passage for the series, which is in Matthew 1:18-23. All right? And it reads as follows. It says, the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. And so the first point being simply, Jesus is not merely near us. And so Mr. Steve, I know, likes to play a little golf. I know Kirk does too. All right, we've gone a time or two. But you notice, like, when anybody lose way more golf balls whenever you go, and, you know, like, and I'm terrible. Like Scott, my friend Scott, if he listens later, he'll probably listen on podcasts. He's like the only person who does. Thank you, Scott. He'll amen this, because I'm terrible at actually watching the balls. You know what I mean? I'm like, it's just over there somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, it's over there. It's second tree, somewhere around there. You know, Scott's much better. He's like laser focused. He's watching. You know, don't ask me to find it. I'm not going to find it. Okay. He will find it. I just know it's in the vicinity. Okay. It's in this area, Scott. You see, you didn't watch it, Pat? No, it's in this area though. So, in the area. So, see, here's the deal. Jesus Christ isn't simply in the area. Okay, and when it comes to our relationship with him, it's not near us or around us. He came to earth and he is with us. And here's the problem. Here's the problem, and I think this will preach, okay? It's a us problem, by the way, not a his problem, okay? The problem is some people seem awfully content with having a nearby Jesus. Say amen or oh me, all right? But some people seem awfully content with that, but Jesus isn't content with that. See, these people go to church every now and then, you know, maybe they go to church every Sunday, I don't know. Well, they're content just doing that, you know, to have a little bit of Jesus, but not too much of them. You know, not too much where it might change my life. I heard of a man who visited a store one time just before Christmas, and he happened to see a sign on display. There was a manger scene with a sign attached that said, Jesus Christ, discounted. Jesus Christ, discounted. Ooh, that'll preach. Okay? Because it's exactly what people who are okay with a nearby Jesus do. They discount Jesus. And think about those words for a moment. Discount Jesus. How awful that is to even think, right? But that's the case. We you know, and I've lived my life that way before. Yeah, I just want to discount Jesus. I didn't want all of them. I just want a little bit. Okay, enough to make myself look good. It's like I was going to church and I was a good guy, right? So they're the people who maybe they just like to reap the possible benefits of having Jesus in the vicinity, right? You know what I'm talking about, like for emergencies. And I don't mean any disrespect. I believe I'm speaking the truth, okay, because I've seen it. You know, maybe they'll help me if I get sick, if I get cancer, or if I have an accident in our family, or I might need some financial help or something. I think I can maybe have Jesus, right, a discount Jesus. It reminds me somewhat, you know, I think, it, you know, just the more than somewhat, what I thought about was a rich young ruler. Whenever I was preparing this. Matthew 19:16-22, let's read that passage. It says, just then someone came up and asked him, Teacher, what good must I do to have eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? He said to him, there's only one who's good. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He asked him. Jesus answered, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. I have kept all these, the young man told him. What do I still lack? If you want to be perfect, Jesus said to him, go sell your belongings and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard that, he went away grieving because he had many possessions. He went away sad because he knew he couldn't give up the very thing that gave him security. The very thing. You know, see, Jesus Christ, again, he's not only content simply being a part of our lives. Amen? He wants to be in control of our lives. He wants to be God. Right? The saying, I can't take any credit for it, but I'm sure you've heard it, but I think it's very appropriate here today. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Okay? So, don't believe me? Listen to Jesus in Matthew 16:24-26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, listen, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Sound like somebody who just wants a little bit of Jesus? Is that something they would do? See, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will find it. For what will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world, yet loses his life? Or what will anyone give in exchange for his life? And so I think the natural question that I come to here is he worthy of such sacrifice? Is he worthy, Coach, for us to give our lives to him completely? You know, to him to be Lord of all? And I think the answer is a resounding yes. Colossians 1:15-16, he... Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Okay. Remember that for later today, by the way. But he's worthy, amen? He's worthy. Consider the following New Testament passages, a few from Paul and then the writer of Hebrews, and ask yourself if Christ really just wants to be a nearby Jesus for you, or to you. Okay. Galatians 2:20, Paul's famously to me, because it's one of my favorite verses and one of the most challenging verses to me, as I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can we honestly say, all right, that we have been crucified with Christ, and I don't live anymore, but Christ is living through me, in me, through me, right? Philippians 1:20-21, another challenging couple verses. in the Word of God. It says, my eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed by anything, but that now as always, with all courage, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death, willing to die, right? For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. What some powerful words. And in Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnared us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us as we run for God. And then Romans 12, 1 and 2, okay, it simply says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercy of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is a good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Hear those strong words of being crucified with Christ, and to live is Christ and to die is gain, and to run in that race before us and then to sacrificing ourselves. Does that sound like somebody who wants to discount Jesus? Okay. See, again, the question is, are we willing? Are we willing to do this? Or are we just willing to just allow like more room, like maybe an add-on, like you add a room to your house or something, or do we want him to have the whole house? In that simple question, do we want to discount Jesus or do we want the full thing, the full price, all of them? Amen. See, I thank God that we have a Savior who's not merely near us in the vicinity, like that old golf ball that I can't ever find. Okay? He is with us. Amen. See, Emmanuel, God is God with us. He's not merely near us, above us, or below us. He's with us. So let's look at point number two. Jesus is not merely above us. Now, it's certainly true that Jesus is above us in his standing, in his place, all right, in his standing right now. That's not my point. So I want to read some passages that support this idea of God surely being in control, Jesus Christ being the ruler. So stay with me as we look at a few of those. Hebrews 10, 12 and 13. But this man, after offering one sacrifice for sins forever, unlike how they did it in Old Testament times, and every year having to do this, bringing a lamb to sacrifice. He said, this man sat down at the right hand of God. He is now waiting until his enemies are made his footstool, to where they will bow down and worship him. 1 Peter 3:22 says, talking about Jesus, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers subject to him. Okay? And then I told you earlier that would make sense later. Right, so Revelation 4 that I read, right, and for the sake of people watching or who might listen later to a couple people, I'm not going to read all of Revelation 4, so if you want to, go to Revelation 4, and I told Caitlin we'll skip around a little bit, but just stay with me as we look at the majesty of King Jesus, amen? Right, verse 2 says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and there was a throne in heaven, and someone was seated on it. So there's one on a throne, which is Jesus, by the way. And you see how beautiful it was in the next couple of verses. And then the 24 thrones and 24 elders, things I don't even understand, y'all. Okay, I'm just being honest with you. I'm just not smart enough, okay? All right, if Jimmy was here, he would have said amen on that one. All right, he missed it. Tell Jimmy next week he missed a prime one. All right, but flashes of lightning in verse 5 and rumblings and peals of thunder. I don't understand. Then verse 6, something like a sea of glass, similar to crystal. And then you have these creatures, these different living creatures, and it looks like lion and ox and, all these eagles and man. And then at the end of verse 8, it says, day and night, they never stop saying, holy, 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 Lord God the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to the one seated on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the one seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne and say, our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power because you have created all things by your will that exist and were created. Amen? We could probably go home, all right, right now. See, Jesus is certainly on his throne, and he is worthy of our worship, okay? That's a point I need to be clear when I get to this point, because I want to be clear there. He is above us in that sense, okay? For sure, amen? All right. However, an amazing thing happened whenever he left heaven to come to earth. Brother PJ actually kind of mentioned that in his prayer. He emptied himself. He emptied himself. Okay? So he's not merely near us in the vicinity like some golf ball we're trying to find. He's not merely just above us in the fact, yes, he is, but he left heaven's throne to come to us. Okay, the idea, the word, the word that you'll learn, and I've said before, is kenosis, K-E-N-O-S-I-S, kenosis. This is he did this on purpose. It was his choice to leave heaven's throne. Right, though being fully God, he became the incarnate Son, took on human flesh, okay, and voluntarily set aside his divine power and glory to come to earth. I feel like so many times we just don't get that, how significant that is. And maybe, like for me, it's just so up there that I can't hardly really even already comprehend it 100%. But I get it, you know, this idea of kenosis. We read it earlier. Sally read it earlier, but it's one of my favorite passages. Like, you got a lot of favorite passages, Patrick. You're right. But, okay, but Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. Listen, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, amen, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity, and when he had come as a man, he humbled himself as if that wasn't enough, by becoming obedient to the point of death, and if that wasn't enough, to the most humiliating death. Amen? Even to the death on a cross. He came to earth. He left heaven's throne. Amen? Right? And one of the consequences of this is that Jesus is not high and mighty and too important to be bothered by us lowly humans, right? You know, you ever been around like I don't know what the word is, like superstars or anybody like that, maybe like that's in the limelight, and you're like, you know, I was just listening to Jace Robertson. I like the Duck Dynasty people. You know, he was just like how weird it is that people will come to him and talk to him and like, you know, they want an autograph. And he said the first time I was like, no, you don't want that, man. That's, you can throw that in the trash. Like, but this idea of some, you know, that we think, you know, that they're going to, you know, these people are too, it does feel like there are some people who are way too, like, important for us to even bother with us. Does that make sense? I'm kind of like I'm talking in circles here, but I hope I'm not. Okay. But, you know, the idea is definitely, that's not Jesus. Okay. He's not that way. He is left of strong to come to earth. Amen. It's that whole campaign. You've seen the videos. I mean, like the commercials. He gets us. You've seen those commercials. You know, there's some truth to that. See, we can relate with him. He identifies with us. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Right there. I'm so glad he makes it so simple. All right. But one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and most certainly the mystery of godliness is great. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Oh, man, what amazing words there. So I thank God that we have a Savior who's not merely near us or above us, but he is with us. Amen. And then he's not below us, certainly not. You heard what I've already read today, and you've read with us, with me, right? Have you ever, like, been wasteful at all? Like, not drinking the whole Coca-Cola at the restaurant or something? You know, or just, you know, whatever. Just, you know, kind of wasted resources or whatnot. There was a rich young fellow who wanted to give his father something for Christmas. And he had been through all the obvious, having given him a new widescreen HD TV 1 year and a Porsche another year. You can tell this is just a story. Okay, so he was looking for something different. Well, one day he was looking around the market in Costa Rica where he was vacationing, where he came across a most unusual bird. Not only was the bird beautiful, but it could talk. It could count. It could give stock market quotes. It was a very special bird, and all for only $20,000. Well, the young man, who had a lot of money, he didn't even hesitate. It was a perfect gift. So he bought it and had it sent to his dad. And the day after Christmas, he called and he said, did you get the gift? He asked his father. He said, oh, yes, son, he answered. Well, how did you like it? He said, oh, it was delicious. So he obviously wasted the bird there. See, I feel like some people treat Jesus like that man who wasted the gift of that bird. right? We waste opportunities. We you know, opportunities. I wish so, you know, I don't know, regret's not the right word because God had, you know, his timing's perfect, amen. But I wish so much that I had given my life to Christ before I did, you know. I think of the opportunities that was wasted during that time. See, we have already established the fact that Jesus is in heaven, amen. He's on high. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, "Do not be hasty to speak and not be impulsive to make a speech before God. Listen, God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few." Ooh, that's always some very, you know, words like whoa, okay. Very sober words here, sombering, if that's the word. I'm not real sure. I'm struggling a little bit today. Y'all pray for me. Jesus is most certainly not below us, but it appears there are some who live that way. Okay? Just don't have time for Jesus. Okay? All right, I'll get around to him sometime. Right, Brother PJ? You heard that? Okay, let me live my life a little bit, and then I'll get around to Jesus. They live their lives not caring one iota, wasting so many opportunities. Maybe they think, who is this Jesus fella? Who is this telling me what to do? Where's he come off, right? You know, see, if we are followers of God, we do belong to the Lord. We do. Romans 14:8. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Okay? Our lives are in his hands. 1 Corinthians 6:19 20, Paul says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Who's in you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. You are bought at a price. So glorify God with your body. And I mentioned this before from this pulpit, but there I feel like the ones who are very prideful, the very much type A people, I can do this. I can handle this on my own, coach. I got this, right? Okay, those are ones who don't think they need help, okay, when they do. So they think that Jesus is below them, you know. I don't really need him. American dream, right? What does American dream say? You can make it, right? You can make it. You can do anything, all right? You can have a family and a piece of land, you know, you can do it, right? So while hard work and determination are commendable and even encouraged in the Bible, all right, striving, doing these things without God, they're futile, right? We mentioned that several weeks ago when we went through Ecclesiastes, the idea, the word was hebel. Okay? Hebel, useless. Literally means vapor, a smoke. Those things are, you know, just that, a vapor. There was sometime in the late 1860s, two infidels once sat on a railroad train discussing the life of Christ. One of them said, I think an interesting romance could be written about him. Well, the other replied, and you are just a man to write it. Tear down the prevailing sentiment about his divinity and paint him as a man, a man among men. Take his lordship out of it. You know, take that part out. The suggestion was acted upon and the romance written. The man who made the suggestion was Colonel Robert Ingersoll, the noted atheist. Some of y'all know your history. You may know this already. And the writer was General Lew Wallace of Civil War fame. And the book he wrote was called Ben-Hur. Having something, however, something unexpected happened in the process of constructing the life of Christ. General Wallace found himself facing the greatest life ever lived on earth. So the more he studied, the more he was convinced that Christ was more than a man. Until one day, in his own words, he was forced to cry, "Verily, this was the Son of God." He's not beneath us. He's not below us. He is most certainly seated in the heavens above and is worthy of all glory, worship, and honor. Amen. And I want to press in here a little bit more and direct my attention to believers, to followers of Christ, who I believe most in the building are. But when is the last time you truly worship God? That was just a question that again, y'all know this always, although you've heard it said, but it's true. It speaks to me first, okay, before I give it to you. You know, when's the last time that I, you know, have truly worshiped God, that he is worthy. He is worthy to receive glory. Glory and honor and power. Amen. He is worthy. See, I thank God that we have a Savior who is not below us. He is with us. Amen. That brings us to the last point. And I think I've already, you know, kind of pressed in on this enough to know that you guys would all say pretty much, yes, Brother Patrick, I agree that when we're going through tough times, it's great to have somebody with us, right? I think about Miss Paula Tabb's last few moments on earth, You know, I think about the last few moments that Sally and I had with Gamma as we just watched her, right? We just watched her and prayed for her. But we were with her, you know, just being with. Both were sleeping in hospice. And I think even during those times, it was still a good thing because we were with them, right? See, Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. He is the Lord. He is our Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the King, and He is with us. He is with us every moment of our lives. Right? Don't believe it? Well, He tells us so. Matthew 28:19-20. Some of y'all have memorized the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You're like, check. I got that, Brother Patrick. Okay. Teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. Check. But listen, and remember, I am with you in always to the end of the age. I'm not even quite sure what that even means to the end of the age, but I'm pretty sure it's long enough to last my lifetime. Okay? Unless he comes back before then. Amen. Right? He can go ahead and do that if he wants. All right. So He's with us. He's with us. Amen. He's with us in the good and the bad. He's with us in the easy and the hard. Jesus is with us in the exciting, awesome, fun memory times and in the daily mundane 9 to 5 or 7 to, you know, 6 or 7 for some of his teachers and non-teachers, I'm sure. He's with us in the happy and the sad. Amen. He's with us. He's with us in the when we're joyful and when we're depressed. He's with us. Amen. Isn't he a good God? So not only is Jesus with us in those situations and all situations you can ever think of, but here's the other thing. He ain't leaving. And that's something we need to know sometimes. Okay? 'Cause you ever been there? Ever been abandoned? Okay? Ever lost a job? Lost somebody you loved? Divorce, or somebody left you, or somebody just not show up when they said they were, or whatever. You know, serious and non-serious. I think we all experience that. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them. For the Lord your God is the one who will go with you. And listen, He'll not leave you or abandon you." Not, other translations said, "Leave you nor forsake you." Okay? He's not going to do it. He hasn't left us. He won't leave us, because if He did, He wouldn't be true to Himself. He is faithful, 100%. He is with us. I thank God that we have a Savior who is with us today. Amen. So I'm going to ask Alex and Miss Sally come up here as we actually close up. Oh, I'm doing good. Okay. All right. And I got started late today too. Okay. So, all right. But aren't you tired of having Jesus just near you? Yeah. Aren't we tired of thinking that Jesus is just too good for us? Too high and mighty? Aren't we tired of running the race of our life on our own without help from God? Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Let Him be with you today. I want to close with a story I just found yesterday. I love it. You may have heard it before. I may have. It's been a while. But I thought it was just appropriate to end this way, because the question is, does He live inside you? You know? See, when Queen Victoria reigned in England, she occasionally would visit some of the humble cottages of her subjects. One time she entered the home of a widow and stayed to enjoy a brief period of Christian fellowship. Later on, the poor woman was taunted by her worldly neighbors. She says, "Granny," they said, "who's the most honored guest you've ever entertained in your home?" They expected her to say it was Jesus. Right? That's the answer she's supposed to give. She's a Christian. For despite their constant ridicule of her Christian witness, they recognized her deep spirituality, that she was who she said she was, right? That's a Christian. But to their surprise, to that question, she answered, "The most honored guest I've entertained is Her Majesty the Queen." "Did you say the Queen? Ah, we caught you this time," they said. "How about this Jesus you're always talking about? Isn't He your most honored guest?" Her answer was definite and scriptural. "No, indeed, he's not a guest. He lives here." Amen. So if He doesn't live here today, all right, I encourage you to let that be the case today, okay? Ask Him, come and lead us in a song.